And just going by your videos, you start there with a particular set of sounds, like the, we talked about the haircut stuff.
Yeah.
You had other ones, coffee ones, and a ton of other things. Do you put titles on them, you know, on your, say, ones that aren't done with videos?
Yeah.
You do purely aural ones. How do you title them?
That's a great question.
Is it just purely subjective, personal?
It can be. I guess when it comes to found sound stuff, for me, the video is such an intrinsic part of it.
It's interesting, yeah.
Like, for an audience, you know, listening to it is one thing, but it might not be so readily available or as believable if you can't see it. So for me, you know, a big thing is presenting it and people kind of saying, oh, that sound is stemming from video A. And the video kind of just lends itself to people kind of buying it a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know that on the junior cert syllabus, it's an all-oral
course
experience.
Yes.
So for me, I don't know if it makes sense without a write-up or some sort of a descriptor of how the sounds are made, because you could kind of convince anybody that anything is anything.
Yeah.
With
that's where
processes.
The title can be very important.
Absolutely.
Because then it's immediately giving you a story, or it's giving you a setting or a context.
Absolutely. And, you know, context is such a big thing. Like,
yeah.
If students listen to, there's a great song out now by Charlie Puth called Light Switch. And in the middle of it, he actually uses the sound of a light switch as a percussive effect. So it's like, turn me on like a light switch. And it kind of lends itself.
And actually
the
famous, what do you call the girl, Billie Eilish, and the brother was on there talking in an interview about the that they recorded traffic lights in Australia because they're different from the ones here.
Yeah.
And then somebody else did, was it Paula Rodriguez or something? I can't remember her name. She did the driving license.
Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah, and she had all the seat belts, and she had all the sounds of the inside of her car. So I suppose that's
it. So the title of a song can lend itself to it.
Yeah.
But that Billie Eilish tune, that was Bad Guy.
Bad Guy, that's
it. And they used the traffic lights, or the, I think it was like a crosswalk, because it had an inherent rhythm that... So they used that and they time-stretched it to fit in with their own beat, and yeah, it works as a little kind of a hi-hat.
Are you, Magella, you're often talking about films and The Gone Girl. Do you know the film Gone Girl, or Magella, what struck you?
It was just the music in it was so intense.
Mm.
But that's very dark music.
Yeah.
Is there a particular kind of genre that you do, or does it just take a fancy?
What is that genre called?
I think it's something ambient, is it?
Dark ambient.
A dark ambient, it's very dark.
Yeah.
It's very tense. I mean, you nearly have a headache at the end of it.
Mm.
Have you produced something like that, or do you tend to stick to
big drawn out tones?
It's
long pedals.
Yeah, long tones.
It's very tense.
It is very tense. I've definitely dabbled with synthesizers and stuff like that. Back in college, more so than now. But,
So there isn't any particular... You're not condensing yourself into any particular category. You're open to a whole load of different things. So, of course, things change very quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah, so,
constantly fluid.
Yeah, I'm kind of like a little bit of a composing chameleon. If I hear something new, I'll try and bring it in.
And that's what the students in our schools should do.
Absolutely. Don't box yourself out of anything. Like, for me though, I say I'm not a tradie or I'm not a traditional musician, but if a traditional musician offered to work with me, absolutely. So, you know, we can kind of create different things, different colours, different compositions by marrying different arts. So found sound meets traditional musics is really fun. Like, I know 3 years ago I worked with a harpist and we actually used the sounds of a harp to produce a found sound track, and then she played traditional harp music on top of it.
Lovely.
Which was really fun.
Did you said to us that you did some ads. Is there any ad that you did that we might know that we could look up?
There's some on Facebook, so there's a lot of local businesses that have had me in. So there's a couple of breweries in Kinmare, there's coffee shops. But then I get freelanced and I get a lot of commission work. So a friend of mine was doing a cocktail making championship in Norway, and she commissioned me to produce a beat using the sounds of the bar cask in Cork City. So I was in there for a couple of hours, produced a beat, and then that beat kind of served as her background music, and she was presenting in this championship in Oslo.
Think of the association between the original sound and the actual topic of what you're trying to make, it's very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just like your scissors and your haircut and stuff,
Exactly. So, you know, if you kind of take a step back and you kind of look at a process, or you look at a place, or you look at a certain act, and think, well, what are the sounds involved in this? That's often where I get a lot of my ideas. Like, just, I got a car recently and I just sat into it and I went, huh, I could remix this, you know? So it's just kind of saying, wait a second, can we make, or can we found sound this? Can we produce something with this? And yeah, often it's people approaching me saying, I work at location X. Can we do something with it? And, you know, absolutely.
And that's the advice you would give to our students is, you know, use your imagination.
It,
yeah. So it's on the junior cycle now.
Exactly.
Use your imagination.
Exactly. So if they're listening to this podcast right now, and if they're sitting at a table or lying on their bed or doing whatever, look right in front of you, something in front of you will make a sound, and just see if they can work that into a production.
It's working outside the box and it's keeping their minds open and
absolutely.
It's keeping everything open. So basically you're living in music the whole time.
That's
living
it.
In sound the whole
That's
time.
That's it, yeah. I'm surrounded by potential. So anything can make noise around me right now. Like
that
the desk,
would
the
you
walls.
Have a dream to do some film music for a full film?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I've dabbled. I've done a couple of small productions in Cork, but yeah, I'd love to.
And theatre, I suppose. They use a little bit of theatre too, not as much.
Yeah, no, absolutely they do. Mel Mercier, my teacher, he has actually produced a whole soundscape for a play using the sounds of the theatre that it was set in. So it was How It Is Part 1, produced by Garçon Lazare. And it's a Samuel Beckett book, novel, How It Is, but Mel actually captured sounds of, you know, the iron door, the iron curtain, and sounds of chairs, halls, and married all of that to make a soundscape that the piece was set to.
It's something that you've actually done quite a bit in the book, Anna, is soundscapes. You really feel that they're the start of everything.
I'm delighted you mentioned it, actually, JJ,
yeah.
I really forgot. We have soundscapes in the book, as Magella said, garage scape, office scape, prison scape, volcano scape. Do you think they're worth doing?
Absolutely.
What's the, can you tell me the value? Because sometimes you doubt yourself and you're saying, and you have students in front of you saying, but is this music? Why are we, what's
yeah.
musical about this?
Yeah.
Wait,
have you a few words to say?
Like even
that?
At the start, you know, it's the start of an awful lot of videos, pop videos, like Adele's video, it starts off the first, I think, 3 minutes of it. It's all soundscape of all
yeah.
the sounds around us, so you
yeah.
are using it.
What is the value? I get the students to use fan sounds in Audacity to sit, do an hour in landscape
mm.
and to actually, my look on it just says that they would organise sounds, that they would learn to stagger them, to bring them in, to repeat certain ones, to build up textures, to make it, to work as you would if you were working as a musician.
Yeah.
That's my idea.
Yeah.
But then I think about it, is it really, they're only a minute long.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a value to that, I wonder, JJ, from your experience and your expertise?
Absolutely. So I guess for me, things like landscapes, they're really great for capturing an essence of a space. So as Magella said, if you're trying to contextualize a space in a video, you might use a soundscape to really establish the sound of a space and then tear off into something else. For me and for my work, listening is such a huge part of what I do. So things like soundscapes really help you just kind of settle, take in the sound of the space, and from there, if you're going to remix it or do whatever you do, just having that listening experience and that soundscaping experience can really help you find certain sounds that you know are key to the soul or the presence of a space. So we were talking a little bit about sound marks, and sound marks are kind of the ringtones of a room or the ringtones of a space. They're the sounds that you associate with the space. So for me in Kinmare, which is home, the sound marks would be things like the church bell. So if I was to ever produce the Kinmare found sound piece, I would have to feature the sound of the church bell, because for me it's such an integral part of the soundscape
right.
of Kinmare. But if you're doing things like, I've done a prison beat in the Cork City Jail, so I have to sit in the prison for half an hour, just listen, things like bars, things like walls, things like footsteps.
Right, echo.
Absolutely, Rattling. Reverb. Yeah, just being aware of those things when it comes to producing music later on really help capture the vibe and capture the...
And actually just organising it even, not to put everything in together. Because
yeah.
technically speaking,
yeah.
JJ, if you stood there in that prison, all those sounds are possibly happening fairly close to each other.
Mm.
But if you want to make the listener aware of them, you spread them out a little bit in order to focus them, and you bring them in stages when you want as the composer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
I mean, really, everything that I'm getting out of this now is that you know, when you're listening to a piece of music, but don't just listen to the main focal attention of it. Listen to everything that's going on
exactly.
around.
Yeah.
All the background
the
is
ambience.
So important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even
so,
in an ordinary song, the harmony, anything that you choose, they've got to listen to what's going on underneath. Cause
mm-hmm.
it's the basis of everything.
Absolutely.
It's brilliant.
Absolutely.
JJ, this was fascinating, and we really want to thank you for everything you've contributed to this today. It's really wonderful. It's no wonder you're highly sought after in all the schools. We encourage teachers to send for you. So the best of luck finishing your PhD.
Thank you.
And what is the topic of your PhD? Will you give us a title
so
if we can understand it?
So the full title is Sonic Alchemy, Manipulating the Sounds of Everyday Places, Spaces and Items to Create Musical Works.
So the short title.
Sonic Alchemy.
I love it. It's fantastic.
Yeah,
thanks a million.
No,
and the best of luck to you in the future.
Thank you very much.
Great.